Hope you're liking our brand new podcast, Office Horror Stories. I'd like you to become our Employee of the Month. I'll even hook you up with a $100 Visa gift card for being the Office Horror Stories Employee of the Month. Huh? That beats any parking spot or having your name on a crappy little plaque down a hall that nobody walks through, huh? For your chance to win the $100 Visa gift card and title of Employee of the Month, all you have to do is give us a review on Apple Podcasts or iTunes. Then, shoot me an email with a screenshot. It's that easy. You're entered to win the $100 Visa gift card and title of Employee of the Month. So, go to Apple Podcasts or iTunes, leave your review of Office Horror Stories, then email that to me. Send it to Tony at OfficeHorrorStories.com, T-O-N-Y, at OfficeHorrorStories.com, and you're entered. Once a month, we'll pick a brand new Employee of the Month, give them a $100 Visa gift card, and you, by leaving that review, help spread the word that this show exists. As many employers like to say, it's a win-win, huh? Leave that review on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, send me the proof, and you are entered. Go ahead, go get it done right now. Thank you for the support, and we'll let you know. There's nothing quite like knowing your coworkers are having an affair in the workplace to make life beyond uncomfortable. Being forced to witness the comments, touching, you name it. What do you do in that situation? That's today on Office Horror Stories.
Welcome to the world of crazy workplaces, Office Horror Stories.
Have a crazy workplace story to share? Call in toll free.
1-833-HATE-JOB.
1-833-HATE-JOB.
Or write in at OfficeHorrorStories.com. This is Office Horror Stories.
That indeed it is. 833-HATE-JOB is our phone number. Write in at OfficeHorrorStories.com. We need your Office Horror Stories. So if you got one, we would love to hear it. That's kind of how this show is fueled, if you will. Without Office Horror Stories, we don't really have a show. Other than us just complaining about our life when we were employed by people other than
ourselves.
So please do. We would love to hear your Office Horror Story. You can do it completely anonymously at OfficeHorrorStories.com. And I'm excited to get into today's episode. We even have a brand new feature on today's episode. There's so many exciting things going on with Office Horror Stories here in 2020. We're now twice a week, every Tuesday and Thursday.
Okay.
A new episode is released. So press subscribe, whether it be, wherever you're listening to Apple, wherever you're listening to podcasts, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, YouTube, you know, wherever it is on the internets, you name it, please do press subscribe so you don't miss any of our episodes. And leave us a review, if you don't mind. That's greatly appreciated. I have someone to call, actually, to give a gift card to, a $100 Visa gift card. And I'm going to get on that after this show.
Okay.
And I'm going to try and get them on the air and start doing those calls on the air. Because we do that, if you leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and then email me, tony@officehorrorstories.com, a screenshot of that, you'll be in the drawing once a month. We give one of those away as a thank you to one random person for that support and letting folks know that that we exist, because those reviews are tremendously helpful in the rankings out there. Okay, so another fun thing this week on Office Horror Stories, and we're going to probably this every episode here. I'd like to I had a jingle made for this just because I'm really excited about it, and this is what it is. Here we go.
Over dramatic review.
Love that.
And we're gonna take reviews that we find online on the various review sites and read them. Not just for their value of being, you know, interesting, but we're going to do it in a real dramatic way.
Okay.
In a real, oh my God, I looked down and the donut that I purchased was not glazed. You know, shit like that, where it's like first world problems.
Yeah.
I mean, some of these will be legitimate issues. I think the one today is actually quite a legitimate issue, because I think it involves like a hotel not letting people get back into the room to see their kids.
Oh god.
And they left their ID and like went to go get ice or something. And so I mean, there's some serious ones in here, but there's shit like that too where it's like, and the bacon
wasn't as crispy as I expected it. You know, shit like that. So we'll do that a little bit later on in the episode. I'm excited for over dramatic reviews because I did those. I made like some YouTube videos about that 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they were really fun to do. And it just says we're doing this show. I'm like, what the hell? We were like, look, we were reading reviews on something the other day. And I said, that's a show.
Yeah.
Just reading dramatic reviews. Like, mm-hmm. that's a podcast. And then I thought, oh, wait a second. That'd be a great feature on Office Horror Stories because it all ties in together. So we'll be doing a lot of that as well going forward. So anyway, enough with the dramatic music for right now. We don't need that until we get to over dramatic reviews. Anyway, officehorrorstories.com to share your office horror story with us or 833-HATE-JOB. Do it completely anonymously. If you want me to disguise your voice, I can do that. Just note it at the beginning of the call, preferably. And then I can, put a filter on you and you can share your story. Doesn't have to be a place you're currently working at either. It can be from years ago. That's where I'm pulling all my shit from. Just unpacking it. This is like therapy shit that I never got to talk about to anyone other than in the workplace. Now it's like, guess what, fuckers? Now I'm talking about it on the air. And most people are dead.
Oh.
I don't know. I know a lot of them are still alive.
Okay.
Some you'd think would be dead, but they're not.
Yeah. Well.
Anyhow, continuing on. All right. First letter. It says, years ago, I worked at a plasma donation center. Management there was always terrible. They went through managers like a newborn baby goes through a pack of diapers. They finally landed one manager who was ex-military. I'll admit he was attractive, but very unprofessional. He was a big flirt, and almost immediately after starting, he had his sights set on a lady who worked in my area of the center, although he flirted with most of the women there. At first, it was just harmless teasing. Then one day, he took off with this lady. He took off this lady's wedding ring. Yes, that's right. They were flirty that day, and he literally took it off her hand and just slid it off and walked away with it. She laughed and had a curious look on her face, went after him and got it back. That's pushing some boundaries. But he, my boss too, so I just gave him a dirty look and went about my business. She didn't seem offended. She seemed flattered. One day, we were slow. Not a lot of donors were coming in, so most of us were hanging out in reception just chatting. Then our manager comes up and starts messing with some of the other girls. The lady he took the ring from, he picked up and put her in a trash can, one of those large, round, gray ones. She was actually stuck in it, and some of the nurses in the center had to tip it over to get her out. She was red in the face. I'm sure she was embarrassed, but still took it in good stride. Turns out they were having an affair. Her husband was active military and deployed at the time, too. Eventually, the higher-ups found out and they both got fired. There were other instances where he would try to donate plasma himself and came into my booth and I screened him to see if he could donate that day. One day, his iron was too high and I told him, sorry, you'll have to try again tomorrow. And he told me to check it again, which we're not allowed to do. So I told him, you know, I'm not supposed to do that. And he kept insisting on checking again. I didn't know what to do, so I had to get ahead of the nurse, and she helped me tell him he was deferred for the day. After that, he was always standoffish to me. I hated working there. It was very unprofessional of an environment where management was involved. Glad I left when I did. I hope this story is horrific enough to make it to the podcast. Thank you.
It just makes everything uncomfortable when you know something like that is going on. And it's like, what are you supposed to do, you know?
Mm-hmm. Nothing.
Yeah, I know. You're not supposed to do anything.
Because it's like, oh, it's their personal business. It's like, yeah, but it's a little weird. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember not a couple, but they were their own couple. They were married.
Mm-hmm.
The male was the manager, and then the female was the subordinate of him. And I won't say anything more than that as far as where they were in terms of what departments. But I remember it was like just constant, like overt flirting, overt. I mean, way more than everybody else. And he had a staff of people to manage.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount of time that he spent with this one person, probably 10 times the amount of anyone else. And they'd always be out together. They'd always be coming back from lunch together. They'd always be in their office together with the shades drawn. I mean, just, it was so fucking obvious.
Mm-hmm.
And then here's what made it really shitty is they would come to like work functions, not that we had a lot of them, but if we did, with their significant others in tow. And you, like one of them had children, the other one did not. But then the children are there too. And it's just like, and everybody's just supposed to be like, oh, how's it? You know,
mm-hmm.
That's the worst, I think, of all that. When then you have to like see the significant other of the person that you know is doing this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's uncomfortable enough around the office where it's like, you know, the rumors are flying. But then when like that, it's like, are you fucking serious? Like, do you think like no one realizes this? Eventually, I'm pretty sure both of them ended up getting divorced. And then he went to go work at another place and then hired her over there. I don't know if they stayed together.
Right.
And then like made it like a legit thing. Or what? But
So I hate to say I can see that and then raise you what happens when they have a kid. I had that happen at a workplace.
Like they're having the affair and then
she got pregnant.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say he got pregnant.
She got pregnant and he was married, but she was not in a relationship.
Okay.
There was always rumors of the two of them. She was a receptionist and he was an estimator of them having a thing. Well, she suddenly shows up pregnant and a kid comes and he had very distinct ears and the kid had them too.
So did they like deny the whole time it was his?
They denied it until you couldn't deny it anymore. And then she came out and said, yeah. And he got a divorce, but he didn't want to have anything to do with her or her big eared kid. So
Jesus.
Yeah. Awkward.
That's comfortable.
Yeah.
Are people just like that in denial that other people realize what the fuck they're doing?
Oh, they think they're just so smart. They're so much smarter than everybody else. How could they possibly get caught?
Yeah. I guess it just takes a special individual that's that. I don't know. Thanks for writing in and sharing that story with us. 855-853-4802. Is our phone number. That's the wrong number, kids. That's for the other show. 833-HATE-JOB is the number here at Office Horror Stories to share your office horror story with us. I have nothing to one up that. I never had the situation where one of them had the kid.
Yeah.
What about we have one where she gets pregnant and has sextuplets.
Yeah.
I'm just making that one up. That'd be the way to one up it where there's like, mm-hmm. A whole like what would that be? Litter.
Oh, it's not nice.
A litter of people. 855-833-HATE-JOB is our number. I gotta get my chalkboard in here with the phone numbers on.
Yeah.
Let's go to our next one. It says I have several stories to share, but the one I want to share currently is about my current workplace. Many years ago, our boss was addicted to some strong prescription drugs and went from a good boss with bad days to an extremely bad boss every day. He'd find one person to pick on and would continue for a while until the next person would do something to set him off. And that was the newest victim. I was a victim during this time. We have mostly women in our office, and due to the environment, it became very toxic for all of us. Some either turned on each other to find favor with the boss or a few shutdowns, and as I had done. The worst day was when we had our largest number of enrolled students, and my work was beyond overloaded. I had a small area, but I had it well organized by dates on when paperwork was turned in. I had piles of work in front of my desk and still expected to help with the phones and lunches and breaks, yet never getting any to myself. Being that I was raising my son alone and doing my best trying to make things work to keep my house and a good life for my son, I found it easier to just go along with what was in need and earn that paycheck than to say anything about it at the time to the boss or anyone there. On this usual hectic and busy day, someone needed a form for a student, and because I could not get to it at that time, she decided to make a complaint. That is all the boss needed to make me the next victim. He sat me down in his office with the person that made a complaint and yelled at how I didn't like this person and I am unorganized. I replied by saying I have no like or dislike for the person and that it wasn't about not being helpful. It was about not having to stop answering calls and doing my work at that moment. And as for being organized, I am organized as I can be in my small space. I've gotten a bit snarky here, but I asked him if the only other space I have was on top of the microwave in the back by me. With that, he stormed out of the chair, which hit the back of the wall, and told me I was fucking stupid and how I'm expected to do as I am told by the others. I was shocked and hurt, and I knew if I said any more, I could easily be fired. I hated to cry, but I didn't know how to get my frustration out. He continued to mentally abuse me over this one person, which this person had no authority over me. He just had eyes for her and would tell one of my male employees what he wanted to do with her. So he did anything she wanted. One time she even was too busy talking to another employee to help a student at the front. So I assisted and told him sorry for waiting, and she was scolded that I was never to say that. I asked him what I was to say if they had been standing there without help. He could only reply, "Well, not that." This behavior went on for 2 years. Then one day it got so much better for all of us. He has since profusely apologized, and yes, he kept his job even after being reported by several of us in the office. I had to stay because of my son, and I'm glad I stayed because I foresee my retirement in a few years.
Wow, that sounds like a hellish couple of years.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, did you ever have to work for somebody that was addicted to something?
Like a substance?
Yeah.
I had a boss who was a pretty heavy alcoholic.
Well, I had that too. I was thinking something more like what they alluded to.
I actually missed what they alluded to. What did they allude to?
Prescription
drugs. Okay. Yeah, I have.
I haven't. So.
Yeah, that was fun.
I bet.
That was neurotic and crazy. And he got fired. Because he was getting his prescription drugs from one of our listeners who was a cancer patient.
Oh, my God.
Found that in the emails when we went through that. Yeah, it was pretty messed up. He would be, like, really friendly to you. And then on the weekends, and then sometimes in the middle of the night, you'd get these ranting, neurotic emails, belittling. It'd be like an everybody, mm-hmm. all staff email, calling everybody out on, like, anything and, like, shit that didn't even exist. It's like, so-and-so did this. And we're like, what the fuck are you talking about? And they were just craziness. Mm-hmm. And we're like, what is this? And you look at the timestamp, like 2:32 on Tuesday. What?
Yeah.
It's like he's married his kids. He's, you know, at least in his 30s at the time. So it's not like he was, you know, a 19-year-old college student or something. And you're like, what the fuck? And then it all culminated one day where he was in the studio. And we had brand new studios, and I was amazed they spent that much money on it, but it was like state-of-the-art everything. You don't see that in radio. It's normally like, what sort of shit can we, you know, rig up? And it was like a $40,000 board, and I remember that figure specifically because I think we Googled it and looked mm-hmm. it up and like, what is this? And it was just beautiful. Like everything you could imagine it could do was amazing. And he spills coffee on it. And laughs. And this like giggles, like hee, like a real weird.
Yeah.
And the thing's like shorting out.
Oh, no.
This thing's keeping the station on the air. And brand new, had been there for, I don't know, a month. And yeah, he was fired after that. They put him on probation. And then if I remember this correctly, I was the assistant to him. I was, so I'm like his assistant, but like second in charge, essentially. Mm-hmm. And so I had to take over the duties. And then, so I started using his office because I had to be in there to use like scheduling software and yeah. stuff. And so I also had access to his email and, oh. but it wasn't like I was snooping.
Yeah.
I had to, cause you have emails that are coming to this guy from record people and from other people mm-hmm. that are trying to interact with this role of the station. So it was more so I'm taking over the email for the person in that role. It wasn't his personal email address. It was sure. the station's
taking over his duties.
Yeah. So with that, I had to use his email.
Yeah.
And within that email is where I started backtracking because I was curious, mm-hmm. like, when am I going to find here? Like, what were his emails all about? So I'm looking at sent items, I'm looking at received items, and then I'm finding one from one listener, talking about when they're going to meet up and get, and I forgot what the drug was, cause this was many, many years ago, when they're going to meet up and he's going to, I don't know if he was buying them from her or if it was a, I love your station, here's some drugs. Because I've seen that too.
I don't think you could love a station enough to give your cancer meds away.
Oh, I know. It was.
I just don't think.
Fucked up.
Yeah.
So he was, I think that was the straw that broke the camel's back. We had like kept going to management going, this is an issue, this is an issue. And I don't know what the hell it is with radio, but they stand behind people for fucking ever. It's, I guess it's difficult to find people or what, but it takes sometimes magic to get people fired. And this was finally the one that it's like, look at this shit. Cause I think it probably put the station at some sort of a liability.
Yeah.
Like legally of what they were within the confines of their software or their whatever, their communications. Mm-hmm. So they finally said, okay, he's done.
Yeah.
I got like an apology email from him probably 10 years after.
Well, at least he's on his road to recovery.
I give him credit for that. Mm-hmm. I give him total credit for getting his shit together and him saying he was really messed up at the time. And
yeah.
So that was that. But that was the story that happened. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to say a name or anything, but that was that. It's better than the one where he wasn't on drugs, but he was harassing everybody and I got him fired. But then he showed up. I ran into him. I got stuck with him in an elevator.
Yeah.
In Memphis at St. Jude.
Yeah.
And it's like, I turn around. It's like, oh my God, it's the Predator guy. I got fired a couple years ago.
And you just know he's going to kill you.
Just like, oh, I didn't know where he was looking because his eyes kind of looked both ways. He was,
oh gosh. Yeah.
He was just so creepy. And he always had this thing for like really young girls. Mm. And so he'd always be going after like our really young staff. And no shit, he's standing there in the elevator with his station. And who's the one person he has with him but like some 18-year-old bimbo that he brought with him. And, you know, it's just like, oh, okay. And I just, every inch of me wanted to scream and yell at her, run. Run for your fucking life. Because she probably had no idea.
She probably thought she was there because she had potential and that she was important.
That's what it was. I mean, that's a total, he was your total creepy Harvey Weinstein-ish type, guy. I mean, as little power as people in radio have, but that's what he would do. He'd prey on people that thought that they were going to get, you know, promoted, not for doing sexual things, but for just, having a good relationship and learning. And he was that type of guy that preyed on that shit. Anyway, 833-HATE-JOB, 833-HATE-JOB is your phone number. You're never going to ask me a question again because I go on these rants.
No, that's what the show's about.
Do you ever have this? Yes, I did. And for the next 15 minutes, you will hear about it. 833-HATE-JOB. Let's go. We have another office horror story, but I'm pretty... Should we do it? Let's do the office horror story, then we'll go to our... over dramatic review. It says an ex-colleague was always walking around the office with a fanny pack.
Oh God.
He was a bit of a weirdo and a loner, so we just assumed that he kept his wallet and or keys in there. There had to be a couple of office thefts. What we didn't know is that he kept a loaded 38 special revolver in there to ward off any would-be car hijackers on the way to work. It's a thing in our county. Once at work, he realized he couldn't just leave the revolver in the car or the desk drawer, so he decided he'd hide it away in the fanny pack. One day, he went to the toilet and took off the fanny pack before he could undo his trousers. He placed the fanny pack on the toilet roll holder attached to the wall. Once he did everything he needed to do, he got up, but in the process, bumped into the toilet roll holder, and so the fanny pack, including said revolver, fell onto the floor, and a shot went off, shattering the porcelain toilet. The contents of the toilet and shattered remains of the porcelain toilet bowl were all over the floor, and he had to go explain all this to the powers that be. He resigned shortly thereafter. Can't remember if this was voluntary or induced, and left the country a while later. To this day, we refer to him as the Big White Toilet Hunter.
That's great. That's weird, but that's so funny.
That's a great office horror story. Mm-hmm. Do you ever have anybody bring a weapon to work?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, okay, tell.
Well, Had one boss that kept a gun in his desk.
Okay.
Had one boss that insisted he kept a baseball bat behind the office door just in case he needed it for self-defense.
Okay.
The
thing is, these weren't like convenience stores.
No, these were office settings and inside office buildings. They, you know, I know things happen now, but at the time, you know, like almost 20 years ago,
there wasn't a lot of office shootings.
Not very common.
Yeah.
No. So, I mean, I almost understand it more now.
Yeah.
But I still feel it makes for a very awkward workplace when you know that that's there.
Sure.
Especially if you know the person in charge of the weapon and you don't really have a lot of respect for them and feel like they're worthy of holding a weapon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's see. What else did I have? I think that's about it. I did have one workplace where it was okay. It was an okay part of town. It was an older part of town. And mm-hmm. I had an alarm under my desk in case a weirdo came in because it was retail. And I had to use it once, and they came running up. Two of them had guns. And I'm like, great. And they were like the most misfit battalion of idiots you ever saw.
The staff had guns?
Yes.
Okay. Like mall police?
No. This was a home decor design. I was doing kitchen and bathroom model design.
Yeah.
And it was in the old part of town.
Okay.
And a lady came in and she was asking if she could have money. She wasn't demanding money, but she was asking if she could have money. She was obviously high. And mm-hmm. I told her I didn't have any. And she kept trying to tell me she was the daughter of one of our vendors mm-hmm. where we got, like, she tried to tell me she was the daughter of the person that owns Shaw Carpets. And mm-hmm. I'm like, there's no way you're Warren Buffett's daughter in here asking for drug money. So I hit the buzzer because I was like, they need to help me get her out of here.
Yeah.
And they came running up with guns.
Drawn?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This was totally, this was like their dream, you know?
So it's like suddenly like you start hearing, it'd be great for a place like that where you press the button, all of a sudden you hear, dun, 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 dun,
I know.
Dun, 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 and they think it's Miami Vice.
I was thinking
Beverly Hills Cop.
I was thinking Miami Vice. And they came running up. And they're the biggest bunch of dorks ever.
So were they like aiming them at her?
No, they just had them pulled like they were on some cop show. You know, they had their arms out and they had them and everything. And I'm like, you idiots. This is not at all helpful, you know? Because
like they just start firing towards this front.
And the point of the alarm was not like banks being robbed, hit the alarm, you know, call the cops. This is like, I need somebody to come up here for one reason or another. I mean, I would have hit it if I was feeling like I was about to have, you know, some sort of medical episode too.
Sure.
But they came running up with their guns.
That's great.
Fucking Wild West.
Well, that's fun. I can't say if, not that to my knowledge, was there ever any weapons issues in our workplaces?
No.
We had one once where it wasn't the staff member who had brought guns to work, but where one of the salespeople at one of the stations... and this is a great one. I don't know if I've talked about this on another episode or not, but he was shady. And he, for whatever reason, it turned out he was telling clients, advertisers of the station, to write the checks out directly to him instead of to the station.
Oh.
And it turned out he was using that money then to pay off some of his debts. I guess, I don't know if it was gambling debts or drug debts, some debt of some sort. And that's what we found out after the fact. So he was in need of money.
Okay.
And at some point he pissed off somebody who he owed money to. And one of the people who he owed money to got revenge on him by calling the FBI and saying that he had a weapon at the workplace and that he was going to shoot up the workplace.
Yeah.
He wasn't. I mean, he was doing shady dealings on the side, but he wasn't an office shooter.
Okay.
He had no weapon in his possession, nothing like that. But what happened was suddenly the building is surrounded by SWAT.
God.
And there's windows all around the side of this place, and also people are seeing like armed SWAT like running up and, you know, hiding in the bushes and like taking tactical positions.
Oh, God.
And then bursting through our doors because they think we have an active shooter. No, absolutely nothing was going on at work that day. Zero. And we're like, what the fuck is going on? And that's what happened. That's what it turned out. Somebody had called this in, and then they connected the dots and figured out that's what it was. And then they did some more research into what this guy was up to. And it turned out like his clients are like, well, you're not on the air because you didn't pay for your ads. They're like, no, I did. I paid the, paid him. So the stations end up giving these people, you know, free advertising.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah.
Wow.
There's some real characters out there. So that was exciting. 833-HATE-JOB is our number. 833-HATE-JOB. I was just afraid people were going to show up with shotguns when I was working in country radio.
Really?
Well, just because I would make comments and shit on the air and probably piss some people off. And I mean, this was in not in Wichita days, but more so.
Because you were pretty good, even though country music was not your favorite. You were pretty good with the audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when I was younger and I was like, I don't know, early 20s, and I was working country for the first time, I didn't know anything about country, but I had that young, arrogant attitude that a lot of, you know, 22-year-olds, 23-year-olds have. If you don't like country music, because I was very much a top 40 guy, and I just thought it was beneath me. And I that's what I was thinking at the time.
Yeah.
So I would make a lot of jokes about it, you know, a lot of like, you know, country yokel jokes and that sort of stuff. And I had several people like, you better be careful because, you know, they have like guns and like and big trucks, and you're kind of here in the middle of a cornfield at night by yourself. So you better hope nobody just like shows up, you know. So I kind of like pared that back a little. It wasn't like super demeaning. It was just kind of tongue in cheek. You know, let's make fun of the lifestyle a little bit.
Yeah.
But some people don't appreciate that. In any way,
like anybody or that lives that lifestyle that would be listening to the music.
Pretty much. Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. I mean, I make fun of everything, but people don't appreciate that. I did have one person that showed up at the radio station one day. I didn't know if he did have a gun or not. And it was late at night. So it's like 11 o'clock, 11:30 in a cornfield in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Uh-huh. It was where the station is on the country radio. And I've been at the station now, I don't know, 6 months. And this guy shows up at the door, knocking on it. There's nothing around. It's a cornfield. And I'm like, what the fuck? It's a guy that I had fired at my previous station. And this other station was, keep in mind, 4 hours away. So it's not like, oh, you're in town. And he was just, I don't remember what the hell the deal was. I remember there was something, I mean, he was horrible on the air. He wasn't a good employee, but I remember like right after we fired him for just being shitty, there was something to the effect that he got arrested for firing a bow and arrow at someone's ass.
Oh my God.
And like hitting him. That's the last I knew about this guy, is that he got arrested for firing a bow and arrow and the arrow lodged itself into someone's ass.
So he had a history of violence.
Yes. And so he was kind of a loose cannon. When we got rid of him, I was kind of happy because it was like, you know, he's just not, I didn't like that weird energy. I'm thinking I'll never see this guy again. 11:30 at night in the cornfield. There he is. Hey, how you doing, Tony? And I'm like thinking, he's going to kill me. He's mad because I fired him.
Cue the psycho music.
All those months ago. Yeah. And he kind of pushes his way into the station. And I'm like, what the fuck? And I'm like looking around the building and looking around the studio for weaponry or like, I don't know, just a metal bar or something I can use. You know, he doesn't appear to have any weapons on him or a bow around his back. He's not like walking in like Daryl from The Walking Dead or anything. But he's just weird. And I knew that all this, you know, so this is in the back of my mind. I'm just being really super friendly. And I couldn't like push him away. I'm just like, just be nice and just appease him and just be friendly and, you know, just get him out of here, you know? So that's my approach. And Never said one threatening thing to me. Never said anything weird about anything. He just wanted to come and say hi.
Okay.
And he heard me on the radio and he was in town and he was just wanted to go visit his old friend. He thought, I guess we were good buddies.
Okay.
Fucking delusional and crazy as shit. I don't remember what his name was, but oh my God, that was like, I was scared that night.
Oh.
No weapons, but could have easily been.
Yeah.
So there you go. 833-HOB to share your office horror stories with us. Okay. Now it's time, ladies and gentlemen, for our brand new feature. Oh, hang on. Stand by. I got to get this all ready. Are we all ready? Here we go. Okay, here we go. New feature.
Overdramatic review.
All right, here's our overdramatic review. I stepped outside of my room to smoke and grabbed the wrong key. 12 midnight. Inside the now locked room were my 2 7-year-old daughters. Too far gone asleep to wake up to my knocking. My wife went to the office, which was closed but had a doorbell and a phone number to call for immediate response. We rang the bell first, then called. The night manager immediately answered the phone and began to scream and curse at us for waking him up. While trying to explain to him the situation, he began with personal attacks that we're bad parents, and if we want to call the cops, because he would not help. The police were contacted. They were quite worried about our children who are asleep in the room that we have no key for. So we try and knock on the door again. At this point, the maintenance woman and man who stay on the third floor come out and ask us what the ruckus is. When we explain, we get the same treatment and are yelled at and called names and asked if we were legal to be in America. This was followed by physical threats to my wife and I. The cops arrived, let us in, and verified that these were in fact our children. The night manager, whom was too busy earlier to get up and help us reconnect to our kids, comes to our room and yells at us, threatens us with eviction, and again told us we were bad parents. Yelled, screamed, pointed his finger at mine and my wife's face, and then had the audacity to tell us we would never again stay in this hotel. 0 of 0 stars isn't an option, but will suffice. Beyond the extremely apprehensible behavior of this hotel staff, the hotel was also quite dirty and ran down. There was a fast food trash in the bed, bugs all over the room, and broken parts on the wall. I cannot be paid enough to ever stay in this awful, awful establishment. And I recommend the same to you.
Review.
Now that was a pretty shitty story.
Yeah.
That wasn't like my chicken nuggets are cold.
Yeah.
So, but dramatic as hell.
Yeah, that's pretty good though.
So,
I'm sorry. You do get a bad parenting award if you see that there's bugs in your hotel room and you decide to go ahead and let your children sleep there.
That's true. I wonder if it's one of those things where they didn't realize it until they got there. They had no other option. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, there's always stuff like that. I mean, Shit, there was one time there was no hotel rooms. And so my family had to literally camp and we weren't planning on camping. We were looking for a hotel.
Maybe it was something like that.
Could be.
But then all the demeaningness and the insanity of the hotel staff.
Yeah.
You can't, it's amazing that businesses still think they can operate in those sort of ways. Mm-hmm. And not be called out for it.
Yeah.
In one way, shape, or form. So, overdramatic reviews. We will have them on the show at least once a week. Probably every episode to some extent. Some are going to be about burned chicken nuggets. Some are going to be about, you know, getting locked out of a hotel room. And shit like that going down. But, that's creepy. What's the dirtiest, weirdest hotel you were to stay at? Is it one that I took you to?
No, it's not. No.
It's been a couple where you're like, I'll pay for another hotel. I'll
Well, yeah, there was that one time that that happened. But I think had you known it was going to be like that, you wouldn't have selected it.
No, the reviews were actually good and the pictures actually looked nice.
Yeah. And that was like, not,
no, they did.
That was not the hotel we ended up at.
No.
So, no, I stayed at one as a kid that was pretty gross.
Really?
Yeah.
You talk about it?
I mean,
do you want to relive the memory?
I can't really say much about it that makes it stand out. You know, it was not to the level of like the hotels on the vacation movies where mm-hmm. there's mushrooms growing in the bathroom.
Yeah.
But there's some, you know, just cheap family vacation kind of shit.
Yeah. I stayed at one that was pretty close to the one on the vacation movie. It was in Michigan. And I remember the bathroom specifically. There was hair.
Mm-hmm.
There was, I don't know, there wasn't mushrooms as far as I'm aware, but it was shag, dark green carpet. I remember that. And it just smelled like animals had peed all over it. And my reference point here is our family or my uncle had a trailer that mm-hmm. he would go out to and use for hunting.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing was not kept up. It was just this trailer out in the middle of the woods. It was once like a vacation type thing that family had used years prior, then just fell into disrepair. And I think he basically used it when he was out hunting. If he was out late or wanted to be deep into the woods, he would stay there, sleeping bag and a gun. Mm-hmm. But every once in a while, for whatever reason, me and my dad would go out there and just check on it.
Yeah.
And it smelled horribly because raccoons would break into the place and would poop and pee everywhere. Uh-huh. It was horrible. And so that's the smell I was referencing. And then we went to this hotel. I'm like, holy shit, it smells like the trailer.
Oh.
And there wasn't raccoon poop or pee everywhere, but it was,
mm-hmm.
I'll never forget that place. It was a magical family moment. Still, the place is still in business. It's still around. I won't say the name of it.
And if you hadn't had that memory,
yeah.
I wouldn't have heard about it at least 3 or 4 times a year for the last 10 years.
Exactly.
So there.
It has more being such a shitty hotel.
Mm-hmm.
It made the rounds of being talked about far more than anything good.
Yeah.
So that's how it works when you have a shitty place. People will remember you forever.
Yeah, that's true.
And maybe that's why people should be more shitty people, because people will talk about you forever longer than if you're a good person.
Don't encourage that.
I'm kidding. 833-HATE-JOB is our number, or of course you can write in at officehorrorstories.com. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Office Horror Stories. Thank you for the support. Press subscribe. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Office Horror Stories.